Again, they look for Curtis. Curtis gets a connection. Ryan McBride! McBride with the finish! Strides up, volleys it high, home, low along the ground, then does a Klinsmann dive across. The flicked header from the corner. We said we needed a better delivery. McBride fell to him, a bit like Ronan Curtis last week. The ball just bounced perfectly in front of him. Volleyed it, gave the keeper no chance. He kicks the post in frustration. Derry hit the front that there's a man here. And the final whistle blows. And a great victory here for Derry City at the Tallaght Stadium. That goal coming in the second half. Ryan McBride making the breakthrough, scoring conclusive volley to make it 1-0 to Derry City. Derry reduced to 10 men for the remaining 22 minutes of the second half, but they held out a stout defensive effort.
But Lowe whoops his in the box, under the box. Yes. The and it's flicked on by Ryan McBride. Ryan McBride missed the header and he's made it Derry City 3, Dundalk 1. The champions rattled at McGinn Park.
Right, good evening, you're very welcome to Drive 105's Match Tonight Live preview show. I'm Felix Healy. My guests this week are former City defender Paddy McLaughlin and Eddie Sadak, the reserve team and under 19 coach. Guys, it's hard to know where to start given everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks. Your thoughts, Eddie? I think you were initially involved in getting Ryan to Derry. Through Brandwell, was it Brandwell Harps and Alec McCool?
Well, it was actually Bluebell Celtic. Funny enough, I bumped into Alec this morning and we were just reminiscing. We'd heard about Ryan. It was a young fella called Matthew Harkin used to be on about his friend Ryan McBride. So we watched him and then we played against Bluebell and the Pat Harkin. And although we won, Ryan was outstanding. So after the game, I had to ask Alec for permission. And young James Kelly, Robert's son, was also running. But Alec says, certainly go ahead and talk to him. And of course, Alec was gushing and praise for his ability, and he wasn't far wrong, and we asked him to come down to Derry. He came that night, and from then on it wasn't you wouldn't need to be a football expert to realise he wasn't going to be playing reserves for very long. He very quickly went through the ranks and went through the first team, and the rest is history. As they say, he was absolutely brilliant for the club.
Listen, I think before we hear from you, Paddy, we'll hear from the Derry boss, Kenny. Later on the programme, James O'Toole will be taking us through the rest of the weekend's fixtures, and we'll hear from Eddie and Paddy about tonight's game. But it's an incredibly difficult time for everybody involved, and let's hear how the Derry gaffer, Kenny Shields, the emotions involved in the preparation for tonight's match.
There's been different emotional states, and we've moved from one to the other, which you do in life, and we're moved now. We're trying to remove the self-pity, and that's the first obstacle that we're trying to overcome, myself included, and we must eliminate the self-pity and go on to represent our club in a way in which we are dignified and in which we give our best, and that's how we have to be. That's the responsibility, that we must carry that energy in a way in which it's representative of Derry City Football Club.
Of course, you've taken one of those steps this week. You've announced Derek Doherty as the new captain of the team. It must have been a very easy decision to make in appointing Derek to be the successor to Ryan.
Yes, it's the easiest decision I've ever had to make. He's unique that he's a footballer who's also can coach. He's got a great knowledge of the game. He's got great communication skills. He fits into the ideal captain, different type than Ryan, I must add. But a captain, as you've seen in the last 4 months of the season, last season when Ryan was out, he was a fantastic captain to have.
Of course, looking ahead now to the game with Bray tomorrow night at McGinn Park, it is a challenge for yourselves and your team tomorrow night to go out, maybe in difficult circumstances, to try and get those 3 points.
If we start thinking like that, then we lose the game. They're not difficult circumstances. I think they're difficult circumstances for Bray, because they're playing against an energised team. If we go in with self-pity, we will lose the game. If we go in with determination and a movement of emotion, where we go in with the sole purpose of being our best and winning the game, and we eliminate that process of self-pity, we have a great chance of winning the game, a great chance. But they have, financially it's very important to clubs to get into Europe now, and you can see the action points of Shamrock Rovers, of Bray, of Limerick, and the obvious ones, Dundalk and Cork, there's a great competition for the European spots, and Bray are part of that. If Bray beat us tomorrow night, they go second. That's motivation in itself.
The big pitch at McGinn Park, your team has been flying on it this season. It's been very good to them. Do you feel maybe it may play a factor in the game?
Bray have got pace. Connolly in particular is a fantastic athlete, and he's a big threat. They've got Aaron Green on the other side. They've got Gary McCabe from Shamrock Rovers. They've got Anto Flood leading the line. Jared Pender. They've got fantastic players. They've John O'Sullivan. You know, you look through their team, they've got quality players and a very good goalkeeper.
Of course, they've had a few mixed results. They know how to score goals. They've scored a lot of goals.
And they're a good footballing team. We're more focused on how we do, to be honest.
And do you have a full panel of players to pick from?
Yeah, we have.
Kenny, thank you very much and good luck tomorrow.
Well, that's Paddy Cook talking to the Derry boss, Kenny Shields. Kenny's several times there, Paddy has mentioned self-pity. Look, I think it's fair to say that's easier said than done.
It's going to be a tough game for a lot of the players going on there. You know, how their preparation for the game has been going on this day. Our games will be nowhere near the usual, so it's going to be a difficult situation for them all to be in, but you know, Kenny's held them all together really well, and he's been through a few bad moments for the club since he took over. So hopefully the boys can go on and maintain a good form, because they have actually started really well, and I'm hoping it'll help motivate them. They come in tomorrow night against Bray.
As a manager, Eddie, nothing ever prepares you for something like this, and it's almost unknown territory, and you know, it's all about trying to. Kenny talks about the self-pity and feeling that within the club himself. It must be. I mean, it's difficult for Kenny to sort the players out, but it's difficult for him to sort himself out as well.
That's an interesting point, because speaking to him, he says going into the first training session after the funeral, he was low. He was driving in, you know, and he was down. He didn't know how he was going to lift the players, but he actually felt the players lifted him. He says the response he got from the players at the session, he says, given such a lift personally, never mind from a footballing point of view, it just lifted his spirits. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to have to feed off each other. The players will have to help the manager will have to help the players, and I'm sure tonight the crowd will get right behind the players as well, and hopefully it won't affect their performance and they can go and do the club proud.
There is very shortly there's going to be a tribute paid to Ryan on the pitch as well. It's going to be difficult to get the first 15-20 minutes once the whistle goes out of your system as well, isn't it?
I think,
and nobody knows how people are going to react. You know, you can talk to your blue in the face.
I think that's regardless of Ryan or whoever's there, even if within your own family, when you've lost parents or whatever, your reaction varies. As I think Kenny says in his interview, you go from guilt to grief to what if I could have done this or done that, and you don't know when each spiral or each cycle comes to you. But I think the club will be well prepared. I'm sure they've had counselling or whatever they've needed to do, and I think tonight, after the ceremony before the match, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Paddy, I think it's fair to say that there'll be goals tonight. Bray, as Kenny's just said, they've scored a few goals. They've conceded a few as well, and hopefully there'll be a few hitting the back of the net tonight.
Aye, well, both sides have started the season really well in attacking senses, and Derry scored plenty of goals in their games, and Bray have started really well scoring goals. I know they are conceding, so it definitely sets it up for an entertaining game, both ends of the pitch. So, you know, hopefully, as Eddie was saying there, that Derry boys can get out of their system as soon as possible and concentrate on the game, because, you know, they've a lot they play for, you know, big expectation on them this year, and if they can keep scoring the goals they've been starting off with, you know, they're setting themselves up for a good season.
Thanks for the moment, Eddie. Paddy, we'll talk more. It's time now though for our usual League of Ireland roundup with Mr. James O'Toole.
Thanks very much, Felix. Well, a lot has happened since we last spoke, and before we move on to tonight's preview, can I just echo the sentiments of the guys in the studio and pass my condolences on to the friends and family of Ryan McBride. Captain Fantastic, you know you'll always be in our thoughts. So let's get straight into tonight's games, and starting with the Louth derby as Dundalk welcome Drogheda United to Oriel Park. Both these sides come into the game having lost last weekend. Pete Mahon's side have now lost four games in a row after two great results to start the season off. Those losses coming against a couple of teams they may well have thought they would pick up points against, particularly at home. For Dundalk, they're in an unusual position at the minute, six games in and already losing two games from the six. That sees them in third place behind Derry, who have two games in hand. And as they found out for themselves last week, they're already chasing what looks like an unstoppable Cork City. As with every derby around the world, this is sure to be a very tight affair. And with the champions down Kieran Kilduff through suspension and Robbie Benson through injury, Stephen Kenny will need to juggle his squad once again. For P. Mann, his side are expected to show up and leave with nothing. So anything better than that will be a real result for the Drogs. So from a Louth derby, it's on to another Dublin derby, as Bohemians welcome St. Pat's to Dalymount Park. Keith Long's men will go into this game full of confidence. The Gypsies haven't lost since match day 2, when they went down 2-1 to Shamrock Rovers. But since then, they've beaten Bray, Limerick and Drogheda, as well as a draw with Galway United, meaning they've amounted 10 points from that possible 12, which sees them sitting in 4th place and the highest of the Dublin sides. For Liam Buckley, he may well have survived one more week after his side secured their first win of the season last week to Shamrock Rovers in Inchicore. But in truth, that game turned not on a piece of wonderful skill or tactical knowledge, but on a rash challenge by Sean Heaney, which saw him get his second yellow card and his marching orders. Up until that point, St. Pat's were truly awful, and it looked like they would end up on the wrong side of a cricket score. But that's the fine margins you're dealing with in football, and in truth, it's probably why we love it so much. A win for Bowes and they could be up to the dizzy heights of third. For St. Pat's, they could jump to a possible seventh and all will be forgotten. In truth though, the most likely outcome will be a score draw in Dalymount. It's over to the west now as Galway United welcome Sligo Rovers to Eamon DC Park. Last time out, Sligo lost out away to Finn Harps. While it's been 2 weeks since Galway last played, where they gained a valuable point in Dalymount Park against Bohemians. Five games into the 2017 season and Galway United are still the only team without a win, despite coming close on a couple of occasions. They lost to Cork on match day 2, being the only time they've lost by more than the one goal. And the battle and performance the Troysmen put in while down to 10 men against Bowes is exactly what Shane Keegan has been trying to build on over the last 2 weeks. And if his side can put together a 90 minutes performance, you expect them to be very, very good. For the bit of red, a 93rd minute penalty in Finn Park meant they left Ballybuffet pointless on Saturday evening. It was very telling listening to their gaffer after the game, as he thought they deserved at least a point. Yep, that's what he said, at least a point. For a club that won the league and the FAI Cup over the last number of years, a point in Ballybuffet now seems to be a good result. What's even more telling is how Robertson thinks his defence is in great shape. That defence have conceded 16 goals in 6 games. That makes it the worst defence in the league. But if Robertson's happy to claim that's good shape, well, fair play to him. Tonight, though, I think this game could well be the league's first 6-pointer of the season. A win for either side could see them out of the bottom 3. The only thing we will be guaranteed is, come 9:30, is there's going to be a lot more football cliches being bandied about. Staying on the west coast now, and it's to the markets field we go, as Limerick welcome a free-flowing Cork City to town. It's fair to say that Martin Russell's side have been a bit start-stop so far this season, and last week's 1-0 victory over Bray Wanderers showed that they're capable of grinding out a result when needed. Paul O'Connor's early strike was the only bit of quality on show on an incredibly poor night for football fans. It was, without a doubt, the poorest game I've watched in a very long time. But it's all about points, and the Limerick faithful won't care about the performances once they keep getting points on the board. For Cork, it was more of the same. The only difference to last Saturday's performance was that Sean Maguire didn't score. He did, however, set up both goals for his strike partner, Carl Shepherd. It was a very dominant display against Dundalk, and it really laid down a marker for the rest of the league to sit up and pay attention. They could well go from the team that chases Dundalk to the team everybody else needs to chase. This one could well be the game of the night, with two very attacking teams on one of the country's best pitches, and in front of what should be a jam-packed markets field. Unfortunately though, I think Cork will finish tonight with 7 from 7 and a massive 21 points. Finally tonight, and it's back to the capital for Shamrock Rovers versus Finn Harps. It's not very often you get to say this. Finn Harps go into this game in 6th place, 2 places ahead of Rovers. So take that one in, Harps fans. Just dwell on it, just for a couple of seconds. Last week saw Rovers lose out to St Pat's after what head coach Stephen Bradley called a stupid red card. The Hoops were well in control until that point, and if Sean Heaney had stayed on his feet, no doubt he would have seen his side run out comfortable winners. But what ifs don't win points, and the Rovers' brains trust of Bradley, Cronin, Duff and McVale will see tonight's game as a perfect chance to get back on track. Meanwhile, Ollie Horgan saw his side snatch a 2-1 93rd minute win against Sligo last Saturday, and for a brief second it almost looked like Ollie would praise his side. But no, a we got out of jail tonight was as close as he came. Harps have won 8 points so far, with a win and a draw at home and away. Surely any kind of result tonight will see Ollie break out into a dance, praise his team, and buy everybody around a football special. But realistically, this game has a home win wrote all over it. Well, that's all from me this week. So it's back to you, Felix, in the studio.
Well, thank you very much, James. And hopefully you'll see a better game this week than you saw last week, which really cheered you up. That's James O'Toole with his look at what's happening elsewhere. Guys, what have we made of the start? Is it a season too far for Dundalk?
I think we referred in the first pre-match programme we've done. I feel Cork, this could be their year. They've got a good side, a couple of good signings. And most importantly, they kept Sean Maguire. There was talk of him moving across channel again, but they've kept him. They look very good, they look strong. Dundalk certainly, if you finish above Dundalk, you'll win the league. I think it's as simple as that. They've been blown hot and cold, maybe conceding silly goals if you look at the matches they've played. But I wouldn't write them off totally, but I would still have a feeling that Cork will get it this year.
It's hard. I mean, Stephen's lost, Dundalk have lost, you know, a player a year, but this year they've lost three, four. Meen and Finn and the two guys going to England. Maybe a stage too far, Paddy?
Well, when you consider that they've lost four first-team regulars, like this, it's rubbing the heart of his team. Like, I know he's brought on quality, but it's going to take him time to adjust to the league. And by the time they adjust to the league, Cork could be not out of sight, but too much they make up on them. But as I say, Cork are flying like this year, and they've hit the ground running from the President's Cup, and they won comfortably. They're home 100% record in the league as well too, so they're going, if Dundalk don't get their act together soon, they're going to give themselves a mountain to climb.
I think we've all been surprised by Harps, how well they've done.
Perhaps a bit surprised, but certainly pleased enough for Ollie. I know Ollie well from a previous life, as they say, and the results they've had. They beat Sligo at home the last day. They've had a difficult match tonight down in Tala, but if they're organised well defensively, I wouldn't be surprised if they snatched a draw.
Yeah, but it is similar. Harps, have you been talking to the lads up there, have you?
I just talking to Paddy Miller last week, and he was saying like things are going well. The little boys are delighted about how things have gone, and rightly so. And like, I hold my hands up. I said that I thought they would have found it really difficult with three teams going down, and hopefully I'm proved wrong come the end of the season, because I'd love to see Harps stay up. But hey, fair play, the boys up there, they've done excellent up there now.
Is it very? They've got a tough stretch now, Harps as well. I think it's Dundalk next week, and then Derry the following week. So. Anything they get, although they've looked at it as if they've gained a few points in the last couple of weeks, which is good as well. Well, that's almost it for tonight. My thanks to Paddy and Eddie. It's going to be an incredibly sad and emotional night at McGinn Park here tonight. Kickoff is very short. We join our Match Night Live team at McGinn Park, which includes Eddie. This is after a word from our donors.